This morning we're going to be baptizing our sister Martha. This is an ordinance of our Lord. It is of him. Anytime a sinner is brought to believe on the Lord Jesus and wants to confess him in believer's baptism, what is the picture in water baptism? Why has our Lord ordained this? What's he ordained it to picture? What's being declared in water baptism? Well, like the Lord's table, the purpose of it is to show forth our Lord's death. It's to show forth our Lord's death, is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Water baptism is the believer's public confession that we believe Christ to be all our salvation, that we're united to him, consecrated to him, and following him in newness of life. Water baptism shows forth Christ's baptism. Now get what I said. Water baptism shows forth Christ's baptism. And I don't mean Christ's water baptism. Christ's water baptism showed forth Christ's baptism. It shows forth the immersion that our Lord Jesus Christ was baptized with in the judgment of God on the cross. It was an immersion. It was a burial. It was a death and a burial that our Lord endured for his people. And then he was resurrected. Then he came out of the grave. Then he arose to the right hand of the Father. Water baptism shows how our triune God in Christ fulfilled all righteousness for his people. It shows how our Lord Jesus Christ, actually how our triune God in our Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all righteousness for his people. That's what water baptism shows. That's what Christ was accomplishing on Calvary's cross. So I want us to look at three things here in this passage this morning. And let's learn from Christ's baptism. This is his water baptism now. He's come to John to be baptized. And let's learn from his water baptism. First of all, let's learn from the Spirit of our Lord. Let's learn from the Spirit of our Lord in him coming to John to be baptized. It says there in verse 13, then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Our Lord Jesus Christ walked 3 days from Nazareth in Galilee to Jordan. And then here he is, the Lord from heaven, and he comes and submits to John for John to baptize him. Now, his coming that distance shows us something of the importance of baptism. He was obeying the will of the Father by submitting to water baptism. This was the will of the Father. And he was obeying the will of the Father. He walked 3 days from Nazareth of Galilee to Jordan. And he submitted to John to baptize him. That shows the importance of water baptism. But it also shows the Spirit of our Lord Jesus. It shows the Spirit that he puts in his child, that makes his child believe him and follow him. And when you behold the Lord Jesus walk 3 days to be baptized in water of John, think of the great journey Christ took to come down from heaven's glory to this earth to do for his people what his water baptism typified. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is equal with God. And he came down and took the likeness of sinful flesh, was made like unto his brethren. He came down. He came all the way down, and he came down to be baptized. He came down to be immersed in the righteous, just judgment of God in place of his people. That's why he came down. He was born to die. That's what water baptism is showing, his death and his burial. He came down for that purpose, to die on the cross, the death that his people owed to justice. And he entered covenant before the world was made to be baptized in that fiery judgment, to be immersed in that fiery judgment for God's elect. And then in the fullness of time, he came forth, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem his people from the curse of the law. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. You see the Spirit of our Lord? He came down. He came down to do this for his people. And it was more than a 3-day walk. He walked for 33 and a half years, knowing what he was facing, knowing it was coming every day, every step, knowing what he was going to be baptized with. This is the baptism he spoke of when he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? He wasn't talking about this water baptism that he was immersed in by John. He's talking about the cross. He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened? How is it pressed upon me until it be accomplished? But it was the will of the Father. It was the will of the Father that he be baptized with that baptism of the cross. That was his Father's will. And so it was his Father's will that he be baptized in water to show forth that baptism on the cross and to institute this ordinance for his people. Everything our Lord has given to us, he did it already, and he's the perfection of it. So the Son of God humbled himself, and he came down and he took flesh. Then he humbled himself and he walked these 3 days to Jordan, and he submitted himself to John, a man who was a sinner that he came to save, like all his people he came to save. And he submitted to John to baptize him. When the Lord came to John, John forbade him. John objected. And I understand, don't you? This is the Lord of glory. This is his righteousness. This is the one he just said is going to baptize with fire and the Holy Ghost. And he said, John said, I have need of you baptizing me. You've come to me to baptize you. I need you to baptize me. But when the Lord commanded him to obey, John baptized him. When a sinner is born again of the Spirit of God, when we're born again of God the Spirit, he makes us behold our Lord Jesus Christ's humility. He makes us behold how meek and lowly our Lord Jesus is. Our Lord Jesus is meek and lowly, meek and lowly. He made himself of no reputation. He came down to serve God for his people. That's what he did. And he gives us a heart. He gives his child a heart, a new spirit that he puts in you that you didn't have. It's a new spirit that is a broken and a contrite spirit. He humbles you by showing you what he did for you, how he came down for you, how he humbled himself for you. And he gives you a broken and contrite spirit, and he makes us come down. That's what repentance is. It's a complete, entire change of mind of who God is and of who we are. We see God exalted. We see Christ exalted. We see he's holy, 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 that he demands perfection. And we see we are the sinner. And we take sides with God against ourselves, and we come down. We come down because we need Christ to save us. The sacrifices of God. Now listen, the sacrifices of God. Men, the Pharisees were running all over making these sacrifices to God. They were so proud of all their sacrifices. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. God does despise pride, because pride is not trusting God. Pride is not bowing to God. Pride is not giving him the glory that is his. Pride is thinking ourselves something when we're nothing. Pride is glorifying, glorying in ourselves. He despises that. But a broken and a contrite heart is just the opposite. It's trusting God. It's trusting the Lord Jesus. It's bowing at his feet. It's believing he's all my salvation, and I'm nothing before him except he be my all. He does not despise that spirit. That's the spirit he puts in his people. So seeing our Lord come and do this and bow, we see a picture of him coming down from glory. We see a picture of him going to the cross, the humility and the lowliness and the meekness our Lord exhibited by doing that. And that's the spirit he puts in his child, to make you bow and believe him and trust him and then submit to this public ordinance of baptism, water baptism, confessing all your salvation is what Christ accomplished by that baptism on the cross. Water baptism is a broken-hearted sinner submitting to Christ and publicly confessing that Christ is all our salvation. That's what it is. Now, secondly, let's learn what water baptism pictures by what Christ said to John. Let's see what it pictured. Let's see what Christ accomplished. Let's see what he did for his people. This is what he said to John. Listen to what he said here, verse 14. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Now, first of all, the us that our Lord speaks of here, the us he speaks of here is our triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We see them all in this text. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Spirit of God descends upon him in the form of a dove. And God the Father speaks from heaven and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Everything that our Lord did, he was doing for God. He is God in human flesh, the Son of God. And everything he did is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit united, saving his people from our sins. God the Father chose his people and trusted them in Christ. Christ came forth and redeemed us, the Son of God, and the Spirit of God reveals Christ in us. This whole thing of our salvation is all of God. Salvation is of the Lord. And so it becometh us, it becometh the triune God in fulfilling all righteousness for our Lord to be baptized in water and then enter his ministry and go his whole life and accomplish it and finish it by his death at Calvary and his resurrection from the grave. All things are of God. Get that. Get that. Man, if we could get that. Woo! All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He is the fullness of the Godhead in a body. And if he's called you to believe him, you are complete in him. You know what that scripture means in Colossians when it says that? He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. The word fullness and the word complete are the same words. And what it's saying is as fully as he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that is how fully complete you are in him. It don't get more complete. You don't get more God, and it don't get more complete. God was in Christ saving his people. Now, secondly, the us are Christ with all his elect in him. Us and all that the Father gave to him were in him. We were in him from the beginning. He said, thus it becometh us. He's including John there. He's saying, John, it behooves us to fulfill all righteousness. And this water baptism, Christ is showing us this picture, what it pictures, of how he fulfilled all righteousness and how his people fulfilled all righteousness in him. That's what water baptism is showing. God's elect were in Christ. When he came into this world, we were in him. We're in him from eternity. We were in him. He's our head. We're his body. We were in him. And everything he did, we did in him. Levi is the illustration the Hebrew writer gives. Levi was in Abraham's loins when Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek years and years and years and years before Levi was ever born. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek, and the Hebrew writer says, and Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek because he was in Abraham. He was in Abraham. We were in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we did what our Lord Jesus Christ did. John did what our Lord commanded that day. He baptized him. But John didn't fulfill righteousness that day. But he did in Christ. Christ fulfilled all righteousness that day. And John did in him. John did in him. The only one who fulfilled all righteousness is Christ. And he did it for us. And the us, all his people, did it in him. Even when the Lord Jesus was baptized in water, even when he was baptized in water, all who were in him were baptized in water that day when John baptized him. Everything he did, we did in him. Our repentant, believing brother, the thief on the cross, He wasn't able to be baptized in water because he was nailed to a cross. He would have, if he would have lived, he would have said, where's water? I want to confess my Lord in baptism. But he couldn't because he was nailed to a cross. Everybody that he gives faith to believe him has a new heart willing to confess him in believer's baptism. We want to publicly confess him. And that thief would have done that, but he didn't. But he did. He was baptized in water that day when Christ was baptized in water. And he did it in perfect righteousness. You see, we're going to baptize Martha here today. And she and me and you who sit here witness it. We're going to have our evil mixed with everything we do here today. We're not going to do this in perfect righteousness. Not at all. But in Christ, we have fulfilled even the ordinance of water baptism in perfect righteousness. It's true of partaking of the ordinance of the Lord's table. When we take the Lord's table, we never do it in perfect righteousness. We have sin mixed with it when we do it every time. This notion of men saying, now, if you have any unconfessed sin, you can't partake of the table, then you would never partake of it. Your worthiness to come to this table ain't you. It's the Lord Jesus. And if you find some worthiness in you to come to it, you ain't worthy to come to it. Christ is the worthiness to come to the table. In Christ, when he partook of that table with his apostles that night, his people performed that ordinance in perfect righteousness. This goes for everything else we do in this life. We gather to worship, to preach, to pray. When we preach, when we pray, when we hear preaching, when we sing songs, sin is mixed with everything we do. When I would do good, Paul said, evil is present with me. But in Christ, when he sang the psalm, he did it in perfect righteousness. When he worshiped the Father, he did it in perfect righteousness. When he prayed in perfect righteousness. And we've done everything he did in perfect righteousness. Don't ever put confidence in your preaching. Don't put confidence in being able to hear preaching. Don't put confidence in being baptized. Don't put confidence in anything you do. You've never done it in righteousness so that you can come up to God and say, look, I did all this. God won't have it. His Son did it in righteousness. His Son did it in perfect righteousness, and we did it in righteousness in Him. He fulfilled the law when He walked this earth. He was circumcised at 8 days old. Paul said, if a man's circumcised, he's a debtor to do the whole law. And our Lord Jesus Christ willingly made Himself a debtor to do the whole law. He was made of a woman, made under the law, circumcised the eighth day, and He kept the entire law. It was not a chore to Him. It was natural to Him. He is righteousness. He is perfect love. He did it perfectly from a holy heart. And all His people did it perfectly in Him. All His people did it perfectly in Him. This is what newness of spirit's all about, is to behold, you were under that burden of the law, you were under that curse, and here's what that means. You were just trying to do something to make God receive you. You had a burden on you that I have got to do this or God won't receive me. And the Lord came to you and taught you, by His grace, He taught you. When He brought you to trust Christ, He taught you, you've done it all in My Son perfectly. You talk about take a burden off of you. You talk about take that fear and that burden off. So that now, in newness of spirit, you know God receives me. He receives everything I do in the righteousness of His Son. That's how you serve Him in newness of spirit. So that's why whenever you fail and when you sin, the Lord will chasten you, and He will convict you in your heart, and it hurts you. It makes you sorrowful that you've done it. But the reason is because you know Christ redeemed you from that sin already. That's why it hurts. But that's also what makes you not fall away and pine away over your sin, because you know the Lord turns you again and teaches you, you shall not die. Your sin's forgiven. You're righteous in My Son. This is the strength that keeps His people believing and trusting Him. And in Christ, we died under the justice of God. All the sins that we owed, we died. That's what this water baptism is picturing. When the Lord laid on Him the iniquity of all His people, our Lord Jesus Christ justly faced God the judge, the substitute for His people, faced God the judge. And God the judge immersed Him in judgment on Calvary's cross. It was pictured in Noah's Ark. That ark, if you saw that ark would resemble, on a miniature scale, it'd be about like a tuba four in the water. It wasn't like a boat. It wasn't a bass boat. It was just a square thing. And that water came up from the deep. Water came down from above. The water was on all sides, and that thing was immersed in water. And that's the immersion. That's the death Christ died on Calvary's cross when He was immersed in the judgment of God, when He suffered the second death His people owed in that wrath and fiery justice of God on the cross. And He put away all the sins of His people. All our sins. Did He put away all our sin? He put away all our sins before we converted. He put away all our sins after we were converted. He put away all our sins that we commit when we were baptized in water and when we observed the Lord's table. He put away all our sins when we preach and hear the gospel preached. He put away all our sins when we pray. The nature of our old man of sin, He destroyed. The nature. Now, not the nature in us, but that old body of sin, that old man before God, before the law, was destroyed, crucified, died. And all our many offenses that we know and that we don't know, He put them away. He took all the sins of all His elect people and He put them all away. That's the good news. We see in Christ that God's willing to forgive, but not willing to allow His law to be dishonored. That's what we see. He gave his only begotten Son to die the shameful death of the cross, and the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized on that cross. He was immersed on that cross. And he rendered to justice perfect obedience so that rebels like you and me can be shown mercy justly. And he accomplished it. Thus it behooved us to fulfill all righteousness. As it behooved us. What we're confessing in this water baptism, Martha's going to be confessing this today publicly. You know the Lord's gracious to give us something like this, because God saves poor, uneducated people. He saves people that might not be able to articulate everything Christ did for them to satisfy other men. But this right here shows it perfectly. It shows it perfectly. And this is what we're confessing. We're confessing that our old man of sin was crucified with Christ, that our body of sin was destroyed. Our old man died and was buried in Christ. Now, baptism does not remit your sin. That's not what Peter meant on the day of Pentecost when he said be baptized for the remittance of sin. He was saying be baptized because Christ has remitted your sin. If you believe him, that's why you're baptized, because he remitted your sin. Baptism doesn't wash away our sins. Christ did. Baptism is not an act by which we're made righteous. The very love of Christ that made him lay down his life for God and for his people is the righteousness that he gives to us through faith. That's the love by which we're made righteous. That's the righteousness of the law. All right, lastly, let's learn what water baptism pictures by what happened when he was baptized. We see his spirit. It's a spirit of humility. A spirit of humility. We can't believe on Christ and be proud of ourselves at the same time. We have to come down to his feet and trust him. Secondly, we can't believe on Christ and be trusting our own righteousness. The very act of water baptism is pictures to show we died in Christ. He's our righteousness. He's our righteousness. All right, lastly, let's see what this pictures by what happened when he was baptized. Verse 16, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. The Lord Jesus didn't stay in the water that day. He went straight up, straightway out of that watery grave. This right here, when you look at this right here, when we go to baptize Martha, you look at this just like you would look at a hole in the ground in a cemetery over here. A grave. That's what this pictures, a grave. And our Lord, when he accomplished satisfying justice and said it's finished, they took his lifeless body and they laid it in a tomb. They laid it in a grave. That's what going, well, that's this thing of baptism. Baptism, the word actually means immersion. It means to bury. But it's not just a matter of semantic. It's not just a matter of, well, you baptize, we sprinkle. But no, that's not the point. We baptize, we immerse, because Christ didn't just sprinkle us with some dust and bury us like that. No, he thoroughly, totally died and thoroughly, totally was buried, and we died in him and were buried in him. Our old man died and was buried in him that day. It's a burial. But when that was accomplished, our Lord came out of that grave. Martha's not going to stay under the water. She's coming out of this water. And that's to picture how that our Lord Jesus Christ came. He conquered sin, death, and hell. The grave had no claim on him, because the strength of sin, strength of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. And he satisfied it and put away the sin of his people. And he came out of the grave because a death could not hold him. It has no more dominion over him. And because his people were in Christ, death has no more dominion over you either. Get that? It has no more dominion over you. What our Lord said is so. If you believe him and you die today, you not died. you have life. You have it right now. If you're born of His Spirit, you have it right now. Scripture says He was delivered for our offenses, buried, and raised again for our justification. When we're buried in this watery grave and then come out of that water, we're confessing, as Romans 6, 5 says, we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, and we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once. But in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, God says, reckon ye yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the only way sin will not have dominion over you. If you're trying to come to God by anything that you've done, by the fact you've put away some sins or any of that, you're trying to come to God by that, sin has dominion over you. That is what Paul called all manner of concupiscence that the law wrought in him. That's dominion. That's the sin's dominion. Paul says, but that sin won't have dominion over His people anymore, because you're not under the law now. You're under grace. And God's going to keep you knowing you are risen and justified in Christ, so that you won't run headlong into sin, but also when you do sin, you won't fall away without hope and think it's all undone. You know Christ is your justification. He's your life. He's your life. He opened heaven for His people. That's what He did, and gave us acceptance with God. Verse 16, lo, the heavens were opened unto Him. Our entrance into God's presence is Christ. He opened heaven that day when He was baptized. That's what He did when He finished the work of redemption. He opened heaven. The heavens were opened unto Him. He's the way to the Father. And when He opened the gates of righteousness and entered in, all His people entered in and sat down at God's right hand. He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're already seated there, child of God. Already. Luke says the Lord Jesus was praying as He was baptized. He includes something Matthew doesn't. He was praying as He was baptized. And then verse 16, Matthew says, and John saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. Now put all this together. Lord Jesus, through His death, burial, and resurrection, He's risen, and like He was praying that day, He's our intercessor with the Father. And He prays the Father, and because of His blood and His righteousness, the Father sends the Spirit of God to descend upon His people like a dove, to give you life, to give you faith, to point you to Him and show you what Christ has accomplished on your behalf. We're not regenerated by baptism. We're regenerated because Christ went through that baptism of the cross, went to the Father, praised the Father, intercedes for us, and the Father sends the Spirit of God upon His people. And when we believe, some people use this to say, see, they, when you believe and are baptized, then you're regenerated. The Spirit came upon the Lord at that point. He already had the Spirit. This was to show He's entering into His public ministry. In a sense, our Lord began walking in newness of life. In this sense, not that He was saved from His sin like we are, but in this sense, He left His mother and His father. He left His carpenter shop. He left all the former way of life, and He entered into His public ministry as the Messiah, doing for His people what we couldn't do for ourselves. And when He calls you by His Spirit, He brings you to begin walking in newness of life. And here's why. It's what the Spirit bears witness of in our heart. Verse 17, lo, a voice from heaven said, this is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is what newness of Spirit's all about. We thought God was going to be well pleased with us. God makes you know, I am well pleased with my son. I was well pleased with him in eternity. I've been well pleased with him at all points in his life in this earth. I'm well pleased with what he accomplished on Calvary's cross. I'm well pleased with him seated right here at my right hand. And the only way I'm well pleased with you is if you trust him to save you. He is the fulfillment of all righteousness. It's by Christ that we must be saved. It's not your being baptized that can save you. It's Christ being baptized for you when he poured out his soul unto death and arose to live forever. It's not your suffering. It's his suffering that avails for your salvation. It's not your doing. It's his doing which we depend on for everything. Trust in Christ Jesus and you'll find salvation in him. Believe on him and you will hear God the Father by the Spirit of God bearing witness when he's purged your conscience. He makes you to know, I'm well pleased with my son and I'm well pleased with you and my son. There's no more offering for sin. And from that day forward, our Lord walked in newness of life. He left his father, his mother. He entered his public ministry. And by our baptism, it's an answer of a good conscience toward God, a conscience purged by the Lord Jesus through the Spirit of God, so that we see Christ is truly all our salvation. And we're confessing our salvation is not of us in any degree, it's of our Lord Jesus and what he accomplished by his baptism. We're confessing by the faithful operation of God which raised Christ from the dead, he raised us from the dead, and we sat down with him at God's right hand. You mean you confess all that by simply getting in a pool of water and going under and coming out? Simple, isn't it? That's, the Lord knows we're simple creatures. He just gave us a simple illustration right here. All of that's pictured right here. After the Father spoke from heaven, I want you to notice one more thing. We're not going to get into this, but after the Father spoke from heaven and all this took place, that's when the temptation came for our Lord. Our Lord was 40 days in the wilderness tempted of the devil. The devil tried to put doubt in his mind. God had just spoke to him and said, I'm well pleased. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. The devil came to him and said, if you're really the son of God. Now, it's going to be the Father's testimony from heaven speaking into your heart by the Spirit. It's going to keep you knowing you're a son of God and that you're He's pleased with you in his only son. Because the devil's going to try. He's got a lot of different ways of doing it. He's going to try to question you and make you question yourself. Am I really his child? But he'll keep bearing witness in your heart. Soon we're going to find out our sinful nature's still with us. We start out in newness of life, but we find out soon our sinful nature's still with us. But the Spirit keeps bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Christ is our bread from heaven that strengthens us. We feed upon his word. Christ kept saying, it's written, it's written, it's written. He's the strength for our 40 days through the temptation of this wilderness. And when the Lord tries you, he'll send strength, he'll sustain you. And remember this now. I'm speaking this to Martha, but I'm reminding each of us here too. The life of faith is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Falling? Yes, we're going to fall. But we'll rise again by the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll keep looking to him. We'll learn of him. We'll grow up into him. We'll keep pressing on toward Christ, endeavoring to know him more, endeavoring to please him more. And we don't ever expect perfection in this life. It ain't going to happen. But we continue looking to Christ alone. Growth in grace is really learning more and more that Christ is all and Christ alone. That's really what it's about. That's really what it's about. So we keep putting one foot in front of the other so that we might win the prize. The prize is Christ himself. And we found in him having his righteousness. I've used this illustration so many times. Those that have been here from the beginning have heard it over and over and over. But it's so, So we start out in the life of faith, and we're like a man sitting at a desk, and he's just covered over in books. All these valuable books that are important, all of them are important. He needs them all. But right here, he's got the Bible, but he's got all these other books he needs. And as you go through life, the desk gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and then books just start falling off. They just start falling off. And you get to the end, and it's just as wide as that one book. And we get to the end, we're going to find the gate is just as wide as Christ the gate. He was the one thing we needed the whole time. That's what growing in grace is finding out he's everything and him only. All right, we're going to sing a hymn. Are you ready, Martha? Okay, we'll sing a hymn. John and Adam will get to top off the baptistry.